ask an attorney about Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about ask Florida law attorney. With attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
To Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida neighborhood.
Welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and this is the show where we get to just sit, chat with our neighbors, hear what really
good
cool
morning,
stuff they're doing with us in Forest.
You've done some work for us in the past with a trust fund, but this is about a lease rental. We rented a house on Cape Cod, as we do every year, for the month of August. We're 82 and 79, and I'm a little concerned about the coronavirus. The lease is a strange lease. There's no cancellation clause in it. It's a privately owned house, private property, and there's no cancellation. Now, I paid a $500 deposit, and the balance is due, the $4,900 is due June 6th, 2 months before the rental. Since there's no cancellation policy or clause in it, I don't know what my obligations are. I would certainly be happy to forfeit the $500 deposit, but I'm a little, I feel a little stupid paying the $4,900 if we feel threatened by the coronavirus and I trip up to Massachusetts in the car, hotels and so on, and eating out, and then spending a month up there. So I don't know what my obligations are legally and morally. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you try that?
Yeah, I don't think that would be fair and honest. We're 82. I guess the only grounds for us not making the trip is the uncertainty of the virus and how strong it's going to be into the midsummer and later, and the risk of an 82 and a 79-year-old.
Well,
do
you have any respiratory issues at all?
No. Just age.
All right.
But,
other than that, I would have to see the lease itself to be able to answer the question for you.
Yeah, there are some clauses in the sentences that are questionable.
Yeah, I would need to, you're an existing client, if you want to fax or scan and email me the lease, I'd be glad to look at it for you.
Well, that'd be great. Yeah, I was going to ask you if you still have an office at Center State on US
27. I do. I haven't gone there for a couple of weeks now, but I do have an office there. But I should be able to review your lease if you can just fax or email it to me, or even mail me a copy if you need to. I'd be glad to look at it for you.
Yeah, I can fax it to you. Can I email it to you? I can
scan and email it to me.
Yeah, and what is your email address?
It's Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y, P-I-P, .com.
Okay, good. I'll do that, Joe.
All right, Bill.
But, thank you. But basically, if there's no cancellation clause, who does that protect? The tenant or the renter?
Well, the renter. It protects the renter from getting his money no matter what. But it might, let me look at the lease, all right? And I'll be glad to discuss it with you and see if we can find something, some reason in there where you if you give them advance notice, you can cancel. All right, Bill, I've got another caller here. So get that to me. I'll be glad to look at it.
Thank you very much. Bye.
All right, thank you. Let's go to another Bill in Crystal River.
Good morning, Joe Pippin from Classic Rock 107.5 up here in Crystal River. How are you this morning?
All right. Classic Rock 107.5. Very good.
My question, I've already started to see the commercials for lawyers stating if you were affected by COVID-19. And my question is, I won't mention the grocery store chain, but it's a fairly large grocery store chain. And I went to the store. It was a Friday night. It was 8 o'clock. And I pulled up. And I got out, and the lady says, "Are you a first responder?" And I said, "Well, I was in the Navy. I was damage control and first responder." "Well, we're not letting those people, you can't come in." So I debated her for a little bit, and she still wouldn't let me in. So I sat out in the parking lot for 30 minutes, because I was kind of disturbed about it. And I went back up, and I asked her again nicely. I said, "Nobody's hardly came in here, and you hardly have anybody in the store." I said, "I was damage control, first responder in the Navy, and I'm a disabled veteran. I also want is some bottled water." "Well, that doesn't count, and I can't let you in." So my question is,
this was years ago, right?
No, this is just this last month.
This is years ago. You were in the Navy?
Yeah, years ago in the Navy, but...
Did you tell her you were not a current first responder?
Yes, I did. And I said, "All I wanted is a bottle of water." I mean, yesterday I talked to the manager. She said she should have let you in. I said, "Well, I said, I talked to a lady inside, and she says that you are letting these people come in, but you're not IDing them or anything. So anybody can walk in and lie." So my question is, there are going to be a few lawsuits coming out where your constitutional liberties were infringed on, correct?
Correct.
And what kind of lawsuit is that where, I would consider that my constitutional rights infringed on where I wasn't allowed to come into a grocery store. I mean, I even told the lady, I said, "That's what it sounded like in the 1930s and 1940s. You can't go here. You can't go there."
And I don't do that type of litigation, but my thought is that any type of an attorney, first of all, you have to find an attorney to take a case like that. And number two, what is a case like that worth to you? I mean, what were the damages? And if you put a value on the damages, so, say the damages are $500. The attorney going to take that case, and you're going to spend more than $500 for an attorney. So at some point it becomes an economic question whether anyone would pursue a case like that.
It almost feels like, it could be like, where's the guy at that says, "Mr. Such and Such got me $300,000, and then my face is on a billboard somewhere,"
Yeah, well, I know a lot of grocery stores, the one I go to, has a special hour or two, morning and night, where first responders can come in, and they have special hours just for first responders.
Well, I told the manager, I said, my mother went to another store, and it was, senior citizens at a certain time, but still people were going in. So, I mean, for a grocery store to play like they're, I get it, the first responders and stuff, but if there's hardly anybody going in there, I don't think they have a right to play like it's a nightclub and choose who's going to go in there, right?
Right.
So that was my question for you. How many lawsuits do you see coming out?
Well, there'll be a lot of lawsuits. There'll be not being a good monitor to keep people out that are coughing, and you see news stories about people going into big stores like Target and they spit on every vegetable in the store. Have you seen some of those stories?
Yeah, that's it's totally crazy. You know, I say to myself, 500 people can go into a Walmart or 500 people can go into a grocery store. I went over to my little VA place yesterday to turn in paperwork. There was a veteran sitting out front of the VA hospital in Ocala. His shoe and his socks were off. His toe was swollen. And he was waiting out there 20 minutes to be seen. They wouldn't even go inside. You know, it's ridiculous. And I just want to hear your side of it. Could veterans be suing because the Veterans Administration won't let them come in for health care?
You know, anybody can sue anybody. And so the answer to that would be yes. And the question to most attorneys who take cases like that, what are the damages going to be at the end of the day? Hey, Bill, I've got another caller here, so I've got to move on. But thank you for calling. All right, God bless you. All right, thank you. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. If you'd like to call in, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. You have a question you want to throw my way? Hey, I'll do my very best with it and try to get you pointed in the right direction. Again, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Robert in St. Petersburg.
Good morning, Joe.
Morning.
Morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question related to the CARES Act, the PPP application process.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with a small church in St. Petersburg. And some of the documentation that has been submitted, or what has been submitted, one of them was the church bylaws.
And, are you on the staff of the small church?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Okay.
I'm the board secretary. And we have the documentation for the certificate of incorporation. It has a charter number on it and attached to it. And again, I wasn't there when the corporation was formed back in 1977, and nobody that's listed in the document is still around. So what I had found in the church is, again, a bylaw, but it actually was attached to the certificate. And I submitted that, and it what the bank wanted was a complete bylaw. So I was wondering what is contained legally in Florida in a set of bylaws for a nonprofit church that I am missing. And I can tell you what is in our bylaws. It's got 8 sections, and again, for a church, it's lists of pastor, the board of trustees.
Did you give them the whole document, including the signing pages and stuff, and the board listing the board members and so forth?
Well, see, that is not contained in the bylaws. That is in the certificate of corporation, with those people. But the bylaws.
Yeah, but are they saying that you didn't give them the complete document?
Yes, correct. That's what they're saying, that it's incomplete. If there's some signatures that are supposed to be on it, maybe that is what they're looking for, the board members?
Yeah, usually those bylaws are signed and accepted.
Okay. Okay. All right, well, I will look at getting that signed by all the board members then. Because I didn't know what they meant by it was incomplete, so that may be
right. Yeah, they're looking for an acceptance of it, an approval and signatures. Yeah, I'm sure that's what they're looking for.
Okay, well, great. I appreciate you, again, taking my call, and thank you very much for the help.
Well, thank you. Thank you for listening to Ask an Attorney. Thanks so much. Hey, if you are listening to Ask an Attorney and you do have a question of any type, give me a call, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, 877-943-9673. And your question can be about just about anything. We have most of our questions today have been about the virus. And maybe you have some concerns. I know I have. I do a lot of estate planning. And many, many, many clients are now worried about their estate plan. They want to make changes. They want to know if I'm open, if we can help clients and so forth. The answer is yes. We have we comply with all the social distancing rules. Some people like to set out in their car and actually have the documents brought to them with witnesses watching through a glass door as they sign. Some people like to come into our conference room. We have like a 10-foot table at the conference room. and we direct them to the end of the table, and I come in after their seat and sit at the other end, and if there are documents to be signed, the witnesses stand outside the office door and look in. So we've all figured out the social distancing, elder law, estate planning, law, and many other areas of law are considered essential business. So we are open and helping lots of clients during this tough time. A lot of times the way I work is that our first appointment, we chat on the phone. I kind of interview you to the extent that I can interview you about your topic. And if I can get enough information to send you a draft, we get your drafts in the mail within a day. And if you'd like to contact our office, we do have a free estate planning poster sheet as well. There are three ways. You can either call and make an appointment or get this free estate planning poster sheet or both. The toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P dot com. That's Joe at A-T-T-Y. PIP.com. You can text me at 727-667-3967. I'll give that out again at least probably twice more during the show. And let's go to Jim in Jacksonville. Hey, Jim. Jim, are you there? All right, let's put Jim on hold, or maybe they'll take him off my caller screen here, and let's go to Phil in Orange Park.
Good morning, Joe Pippin and five-star staff. I hope you are well, and I'm so glad you're still on the air with all that's going on in the world. I have a question for you. Four of my good friends, including myself, are own commercial property that is in the millions, and it looks like it may be purchased within the next 3 months. Make a long story short, one of our friends is dying, and it looks like he doesn't have it in his will who gets it if he dies before it's sold. How could you give me any kind of premise on how that might work in the courts?
Well, his ownership share could very likely go through probate. And if he doesn't have a will or trust himself, then the state of Florida, if he's a Florida resident, makes a will for him. Okay. It's called a statutory will. Mm-hmm. But anything anyone winds up with in a deceased person's name upon death, they didn't have a beneficiary on it, they didn't have it in a trust, for example, or didn't have a will, any asset like that would go through the probate process. Is he a Florida resident?
He was, but now he is not.
Okay. Well, the real estate is probated wherever it's situated. So if this commercial property is in Florida, mm-hmm. there'd be an ancillary probate of that in Florida if he is a resident of another state.
Okay.
If you can talk him into putting it into a trust, you could avoid probate very easily and make everybody's
I was going
life.
To call him on that, and now emphasizes for me to do that, so I will do that today. I want to thank you for all the good you do, and please stay German virus-free, and you guys are awesome. Thanks much.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, if you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number. It's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. We got Jim back on the line, so let's go there in Jacksonville. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how are you? Can you hear me now today, okay?
Good. Say again?
Yeah. I say, can you hear me okay now?
I can hear you fine. Yes, sir.
Okay, good. I was just wondering, there is a product sold on television that's supposed to give you documents that you can fill out on your computer that are mm-hmm. so you can apply to anyone, you know, in your family. I was wondering if that is that really valid for anyone throughout the country.
Well, they could be, but let me tell you, a lot of people that have tried to do it themselves online through various websites and so forth. They'll have me come in to review those documents. So uh-huh. I look them over, and then I ask a few questions, and what they have done themselves, it's not what they wanted to do. just because they didn't understand some of the language and words in the document or didn't think of various things they wanted to deal with in estate planning. So, okay. Yeah, you can't. A person can do a legal document that way, but I think it's kind of foolish for them to be practicing law on their own and doing some of these documents. And then if you look at them, and, you know, most of them, I would say more than half of them I look at have got some, they've done something they didn't want to do or didn't understand exactly what they did.
Right, right. Okay, well, that's well, I couldn't quite understand that either because, I mean, I'm assuming that the different law, different states would have different laws, and the way this product is sold is this is this individual says, well, this is prepared by my estate attorney, and all you do is place your name in the product or whatever, and then it prints out, you know, that person's name, whatever. And so, okay, well, then that's fine. I can use a local attorney rather than try to use something off of television. I just couldn't believe that would be available to in a general mode like that and be applicable like you're stating. So, all right, well, thank you very much for your help.
Yeah, for example, I take calls every day, even on the weekend. I take calls, interview people in, on the phone, and there are a list of standard questions in my head. I don't even have them written down. And I'll ask you one question, and then that might result in three other questions just on what your answer is on the one question. And you certainly don't get that type of involvement with just an online document trying to do it yourself.
Right. Okay.
And, Jim, we do have offices, just so you know, in Jacksonville area. So we have 20 offices around the state, and Jacksonville is one of the offices that we have, just to let you know. All right. Thanks for calling. All right, Jim's gone. So if you have a legal question, all you have to do is to dial the number. Phone lines are open again. Be more than happy to take your call, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. If you have a legal question of any type, be more than glad to help you. So I don't know if you're listening to the show, if you have come in contact with somebody with the virus. And most of the time when I'm talking to clients about that, very few people have actually. I have one, I can only think of one client that I have that I know has the virus. And she was in a nursing home. And they had to, everybody had to be taken out of the nursing home, and about 30 people in the nursing home had the virus. And this particular client that I have, I'm talking about right now, has had the virus. Now, she's an elderly lady in her late 80s. She does not have a severe form of the virus, and she seems doctors call. I'm her power of attorney, healthcare surrogate, trustee of her trust, and so forth. So I got a call yesterday. The biggest problem was when they took her from where she was in the nursing home, transported her to the hospital. She did not take with her her hearing aids or her teeth. And so what's happening now is that she's very depressed and sad. I called the place where she was located and told them the dilemma, that they failed to help her, assist her out of there with her teeth and hearing aids, and could they please send somebody to do like an immediate search so this poor lady that's in the hospital who can't really hear, and then she can't eat all that well, and so they have to give her liquid foods. Could you help? Well, the answer was, well, the building is shut down. Building is going through a deep cleaning, sanitizing. All of everyone's personal items in the building are also being sanitized and cleaned. And we'll send somebody over to see if we can locate these items, and we'll let you know as soon as we can. Well, have I gotten an answer yet? No. So do I think I'm ever going to get an answer on this? Maybe they'll never find them. Who knows? So I asked the hospital medical staff to, you know, the lady has money. Can you send somebody in to fit her for hearing aids and new teeth? And so I don't even answer on that. Everything is just going at a slow crawl here on trying to help this poor lady. But, you know, that's the problems that we kind of enter into in this day and era of what's going on. Hey, phone lines are open. Do you have a legal question of any type? 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. If I can help you in any possible way, I'd be glad to try. All you have to do is call the toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. You know, this caller, Jim from Jacksonville, talking about doing it yourself online. One of the things that has to be done when you complete your document is, if you're trying to do it yourself, it has to be witnessed and notarized. And it has to be witnessed and notarized in a certain way. And you can totally, you could have a perfectly fine document and it's just not witnessed and notarized properly. And you have to have two witnesses. If it's going to be self-proving in Florida, it has to have two witnesses and a notary, all in the presence of each other. We had a big discussion in our office this week about, can you notarize, if you're notarizing a will and you're related to one of the witnesses, can you notarize that document? Well, the answer is no. You can't be a notary and notarize another family member's signature on a will or a trust, even if they're just a witness and not the primary signer. So you see, there are little things that people don't know and don't think about that can totally destroy a document, even if you had the document correct, which is, I'd say, at least a 50-50 chance you're not going to do exactly what you wanted to do if you try to do your own document. And beside that, it can be messed up on the other side of things by the just the way it's witnessed and notarized. Can you have a personal representative that lives in another state? Well, if they're related to you by blood, up or down the bloodline, yes. Can you name a personal representative in a state to be in charge of your will if they're just a friend in another state? And the answer would be no. All right, let's go to Ricky in Davenport. Hey, Ricky.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, and you?
Good. All right, I have an employment question, and this is recently directed at me. Up until on April 2nd, I got married to my partner. And on April 6th, I notified our human resources director that I had a life-change event and I needed to add a dependent on my health insurance. And so she requested for the documentation because it had been outside the 30 days of where I could make changes from to the insurance. So I sent her the marriage certificate, which obviously had his name on it. That was on a Tuesday before Good Friday. And I need to note that it was a Christian company, or supposed Christian company. And so
a Christian on Monday company that did
Friday,
what?
We did Bible translation software.
That's who you work for?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then
right, go ahead.
Monday,
I just didn't understand what reference was to the Christian company. So it's a Christian company you work for. You got married and you try to get benefits for your spouse.
Right.
Okay.
On Monday after Good Friday, I was invited to a Microsoft Teams meeting with my supervisor, the VP of technology, and the HR lady. And the VP of technology did all the talking. They were very cold, just very, very cold. Whereas prior, I mean, they had been good people. I had a good relationship with them.
Are you on a speakerphone by any chance? Because your voice is being garbled a little bit.
Okay, I'll try to speak closer to the phone. And so anyway, through the Microsoft Teams meeting, the vice president of technology said, okay, I'll just keep this simple. As effective immediately, we are terminating your employment. And I was like, okay, so why? Or I asked for reasons, and he gave three reasons in bullet point fashion. And this was all a video conference, not just texting. And he said, number one, because of the COVID-19, I needed to save money. Two, because I was still on probation, my probationary period, which has been, I was there 2 months at this point, and no complaints. And third, he said, because of your sexual orientation, under Title VII of Orange County government code or something that we are exempt because we are a religious affiliated company. And that's exactly how it went down and how it happened. And I've talked to other attorneys, and I've been told I have a case. One wants to take it, and then I'm just curious what the legalities of it is. I've looked at the Orange County Code, and I didn't see anything about assault sexual orientation covered. But And this company is based in Orlando, too. So,
and I was gonna did they put that in writing?
No. And I asked for that after we hung up. Before the ending of the conference, I asked the HR lady to please send me an email of the termination. She sent me an email, and she said that you are terminated as of today with your that you'll be paid until the end of the month. And I replied back. I said, well, can you send me a recording of the video and confirm that the reason I am fired is, as Mark stated, one, COVID, two, probation, three, sexual orientation. And she replied that we do not record the videos, and I cannot discuss details of termination. That's a policy. That's what she said. But that's exactly how it went down. And
all right, so here's basically, here's the general rules on all this, I think. First of all, you probably don't have a written employment contract.
No, I didn't. It was, all right. No, it was not. I didn't have a written contract.
Okay, so absent that, in Florida, you can be terminated for any reason. So the first two of those reasons would be maybe valid reasons. Right. They have to downsize. They have to let people go, lay them off, terminate some.
Right.
And so forth. So the third reason, I'm surprised that would even be stated in a meeting, because a lot of people might fire you for that reason, but that never would be discussed or stated. So
it was stated.
And one of the reasons that people can sue an employer is for discrimination. And so you might have a case. So the next step would be for you to find an attorney that would take the case under those circumstances.
Right. And here's a guy, one that wants to take it. And I have two other questions real quick. The Supreme Court is supposed to rule next month or early June on this very issue, because they're ruling cover sexual orientation. So I'm kind of waiting on that rule. And then I have an appointment, I have an interview with the EEOC on the 25th. So I was wondering, would it be better to wait until I speak with the EEOC and see if they issue a writ to sue, or how they handle it, or before I get an attorney, or should I go ahead and proceed?
Well, you certainly can wait and talk to the EEOC. I don't think I would do anything in writing unless you have an attorney you've discussed it with, and they determine that it's a high probability you'd be successful in your case, because you probably won't find an attorney to take a case like that unless the attorney themselves think it's a high probability you'd be successful.
Right.
So if you can find an attorney to take your case, that would be the key that you have a case.
Okay. Well, I have one out of New York that is willing to do it on a contingency, so we'll see. All right. That's what I was wanting to.
All right, Ricky. All right, thanks cool. for calling.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, let's go to let's give out the phone number. Phone lines are open. We'll go to Pedro here in just a second. You have a toll-free number. You can call the show. You have about 20 minutes left in the show, not quite 20 minutes. At 877, this is the toll-free number, 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Pedro in Tampa.
Good morning, Mr. President. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. And you?
Good. A couple of quick questions. I'm doing a favor for my fiance. I would like to know if she can do a testament in your office, because she has a piece of property that she wants the grandchildren to have, as opposed to the children, because the children have been really bad with her. And she wants to prepare some kind of testament where the house will be turned over to the grandkids. Do you do that kind of thing?
Oh, sure. You can do a will or a trust to leave property to anybody you want to, so sure.
A trust. Okay.
Yeah, living trust. Are the grandchildren, are they minors?
No, they're all past 21.
All right, so there'd be an outright distribution of real estate to grandchildren. There's no problem at all.
Okay, all right. Do you have a Tampa office?
We do.
Okay.
We do. So all I have to do is call. Now, I don't go to the – I go to the – in Hillsborough County, I go to the Sun City Center office. In Tampa, we have another attorney that uses an office there. His name is Dennis Moses. So that's probably who you would wind up with in that office.
Do you have that phone number, please?
You just call the office number and just tell them you want to make an appointment with Dennis Moses, and they'll direct you. So it's – the Pinellas Hillsborough number is 587-586-3306.
So it's Dennis Moses.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, in the same, in a nutshell, I made out a lease. I printed out a lease, and I rented a room in my fiance's house, doing her a favor because... you know, she's retired and she needs extra money. So in the meantime, this person has been miserable, and we want to know if there's any legal problem with us telling her to leave under the current conditions, you know, with this COVID-19 and all of that, because she doesn't want to live by the rules that we established in the lease. She's complaining all the time, you know, I can't live like this. But yeah, she stays in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any legal problem for us to evict her and tell her to leave because she doesn't want to live by the rules that she signed?
Yeah, if she's violating rules in the lease itself, you can evict her if she doesn't comply.
Okay. It's good to know from an attorney. I had my doubts, you know. All right, sir, I will call Mr. Dennis Moses then and try to get that living trust set up. Thank you very much.
All right, very good, thanks.
And your service. Thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you. Phone lines are open. If you have a legal question, we have about 13 minutes left in the show. 877 is the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. And let's go to John in Hudson.
My uncle passed away recently, and he lived in a mobile home park that he owns the property. He had a will, but when we went to talk to folks at the association, he never transferred his share of that property to me in the will. And I guess my question is, what do I do in order to get that property transferred?
Well, who does the will leave it to?
Pardon me?
Who does the will leave? The will probably just says all my real and personal property without defining exactly what all that is. There's a general clause that says all my real and personal property shall be divided as follows. So who's on the list of beneficiaries of his will?
I am the only beneficiary, just me.
Oh, okay. Well, then the will has to be probated.
Okay.
So his estate, you'd have to, if you were using me, for example, here's what I would do. I would get you to give me the original will. I would get you to give me an original death certificate.
Okay.
I would ask you some questions, prepare some papers for you to sign, get the judge to appoint you the personal representative of the estate. You would then deed the property to yourself. And then we could open and close the estate. I mean, so are there other assets that he had just in his name?
No. What does the time of the probate? Is that a long process?
Are you going to sell the property?
No. I mean, yes. I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah, well, probably in about a month we could get you in position to sell it with what's called letters of administration signed by the judge.
Okay.
And the whole probate process itself, in this case, if that's the only asset, it could be fairly simple, but it's probably going to last 6 months.
Okay.
From start to finish, You know, you file the will, you put a notice in the a paper, you have to be bonded, you have to, it takes the court about up to a month to process the papers to issue the letters of administration. It's going to take the, we take us a, you know, a week or so to get papers ready for you to sign. But you could probably sell it within a month. It was his homestead.
I don't know that. I'll be honest. I don't know.
All right.
That.
Well, there are a few little questions we have to go over, but you know, you could probably be selling it in a month or two.
Okay.
And right. Then we could probably close. You could sell it, and then the whole estate would take. You have to give advertisers. You have to give creditors like 3 months to file a claim against the estate. And there's a period of time where you have to give creditors a period to file a claim. If it's homestead, those claims wouldn't stick. But did he own land and have a mobile home as a separate title on the property? I mean, there's a lot of little issues like that I'd have to figure out for you. But, you know.
I see. Okay.
But the only way you're going to get it out of a deceased person's name now is through the probate process.
Okay. So that's a month or thereabouts to get that done. How much does something like that cost?
Well, we have a minimum fee.
Okay.
And how much do you think the property's worth?
Probably $60,000, but the share, the property, actual property, is worth $35,000, not including the mobile home. Mobile home is an older mobile home, but a nice park, and it's in good condition. But the share is $35,000. I would say the total would be maybe $50,000, $60,000, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, were there any creditors?
No, he has a credit card. He has he doesn't have any major creditors on anything. He's very clean.
All right, so the fee would be $2,500 to $3,500, somewhere in there, probably.
Okay. All right, now, I've listened to you before, so I have your office number. Is there anyone specific I talk to come tomorrow or Monday?
No, you can just talk to me about this to get this started.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, my pleasure.
Bye.
Thank you. All right, bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open. We have about 8 minutes left in the show. If you want to call in, that's the time limit there. 877 is the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Let's go to Diane in Sarasota.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. And you?
Just fine. This is kind of a age discrimination question. And I know in this time with the COVID, there's going to be a lot of different things come up. But I work for a large corporation. And the people 65 and over or with underlying health conditions were given a month off with pay. And at full-time compensation, that would be about $1,200 a week. So all the rest of us who are still working were only given $2 an hour extra, which would come up to $80 a week compensation. So we have worked through this, made an extra $80. People 65 and older were given complete vacation and given $1,200 a week. So would it be age discrimination if, after all this is over, the company doesn't come to us and compensate us in some way to make us whole with the people who were given time off without having to work and paid?
That's a great question. Certainly sounds like it doesn't it?
I would think so.
I mean, just because you're 65, you get a week or two off with pay, and if you're under 65, you don't, and whether there's any medical condition or not. I don't know. I think it would be worth going to see. Here's the thing, though. Somebody poses that question. Suppose you went to Human Resources and say, well, look, you know, I don't think that sounds like discrimination to me. Are you going to do anything for me? You know, suppose I was 64 and healthy, and you're going to pay a healthy 65-year-old money, but you're not going to pay me and I'm 64. I mean, what's the issue with that? So you start to make a little trouble, sounds, you know, and then you get terminated for some other reason. You know, they say, well, you know, you clock in 2 minutes late every day, or you show up 2 minutes late every day, so we're going to terminate you. I don't know. I think it'd be worth probably asking in a nice way, or maybe discussing it with an employment attorney, what your chances would be. And if you're going to put yourself at risk of losing your job for $1,200, that's another decision you have to make, because they might find some other reason to terminate you. If how many people are in this company?
It is a way large warehouse company. I'm not going to say a name, but a way large warehouse company. And so we have all been working the whole time, totally exposed. You know, very few safety precautions have been put in place to protect us. And I happen to be 60. And the underlying conditions that they say, you know, African-Americans are dying more. I'm not one. Jewish people are dying more. Obese people are dying more. I happen to fall in that category. So, you know, you could throw out all kinds of things and say, hey, you know, there's all of these people who are succumbing to this virus. But you only chose a very small category of people to give this benefit to. I would say company-wide something will come up. I'm just curious. I'm always thinking about these things
now. You could get a little group together. I mean, if you went to an attorney and said, look, I have 50 friends that easily would join in on this. What do you think our chances would be, since this is what they did, and this doesn't seem fair to the rest of us, and what do you think, Mr. or Mrs. Attorney? How would you perceive that, whether the 50 of us that are upset about this have a case or not, and see what the attorney that specializes in employment law would do?
Uh-huh. Like I say, I think a lot of things will come out based on this virus. I know they're talking about making all the cases against businesses have to go through one place to keep the attorneys from filing cases, just, you know, as some attorneys will. You know what I'm talking about there. Some attorneys do see an opportunity to cause problem where problem really shouldn't be caused. But in this situation, you know, we're working and we're exposed, but we're getting much less compensation than the people that get to sit at home.
Okay.
I appreciate your advice.
All right, well, good luck to
there
you.
And
I hope you get some
give
money.
Me something to chew on. Thank
you.
Yeah,
I hope you got some money.
Yeah, thanks a lot. You have a good
all
day.
Right. All right, thank you.
Uh-huh, bye.
All right, let's go to Bob in Sarasota.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Pippin. How are you?
Hey, Bob. Good, and you?
Good. I've spoken with you a couple times recently about trust-related matters. I have a couple which are probably quick questions for you. What does the term attorney-in-fact mean?
Well, on a power of attorney document, for example, you would say Bob appoints Joe as his attorney-in-fact, which means you're giving him all of these powers to act in for you legally.
Okay.
So I get that question a lot, actually. So they think that I'm referring to that I'm their attorney, and they think when they're giving so-and-so a power of attorney acting as their attorney, in fact, they misread that, thinking that they're giving me some power, when actually they're just giving the person they appoint the power to act in their behalf. So attorney,
okay,
in fact,
so,
is not a true attorney in that reference on the power of attorney. It's the person that you're giving the power to act for your benefit.
The person I have in mind is an attorney. He's the attorney that wrote the documents, and he refers to attorney, in fact, a couple times in the trust document. I'm guessing, does that restrict
most times, though, it's not. Did you name him as your trustee or power of attorney?
He is not, well, we can't have a power of attorney, as I understand it, in a trust document.
You said it was in both places.
20 seconds.
All right.
He is mentioned in
Bob, if you want to call me off the air, I'll give out my phone number real quick. I got 10 seconds to close the show. I'm sorry.
All right, that's fine.
All right, if anyone wants to call me, my cell number, if you want to call me, is 727-667-3967. Y'all have a great weekend. So long.